Keep it going.
Thank you.
Go to towerfund.wbai.org or you can call 212-209-2950 and donate what you can. As much as you can, because we need your help and we appreciate you. Let's keep it going.
WBAI New York, that's right. Keep it going. Thank you, Mike Sargent. It's 10 a.m. here in New York City. Coming up next is Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Gellert.
Put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on following
see a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome! Glad you could join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. This is Ecologic for Wednesday, May 29th, 2024.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Our guest today is Steve Andrews, author of Saving Mother Ocean. But first, in today's news, good news for an environmental center in Bergen County, a story about otters, and safe feeding of hummingbirds.
We like to start our show with good news. Wyckoff Township Parks Commissioner Roger Lane announced last week that the County of Bergen has dedicated approximately $1 million for significant upgrades of the James A. McFaul Environmental Center. The 2024 county budget allocates about $100,000 for planning stages to determine essential needs and priorities at the center. And the balance is included in the 2025 capital budget for the county for the improvements. The environmental center was created from an 81-acre pig farm purchased by the county in 1962 and opened as a wildlife center in 1967. Named for longtime County Parks Department Executive Director James McFaul in 1987, the name was changed to Environmental rather than Wildlife Center in 1990. The center has nature trails, gardens, and educational science exhibits, and summer workshops for children. Also in Bergen County, a volunteer opportunity. The Northern New Jersey Community Foundation is seeking volunteers to install a community rain garden and paint a community mural at Hackensack High School, 135 First Street, Hackensack, on this Saturday, June 1st, from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is a family-friendly event for Bergen County residents, with children younger than 14 welcome with adult supervision.
On behalf of hummingbirds, did you know that hummingbirds nest throughout the listing area wherever there are flowers all spring and summer? Hummingbird feeders are available or easy to build, but you know how to do this. You have to know how to do this safely. You can make a safe nectar by boiling pure water and pure white refined cane sugar in a 4-to-1 ratio. Boiling is necessary to limit microbial growth. Using anything else, including additives such as Kool-Aid or other commercial liquids with red dye, Some commercial nectars are still using red dye. Don't buy them. Honey or artificial sugars, all can actually prevent birds from being able to feed. The opposite of what you were trying to do to help these little guys. You also have to be vigilant about changing the nectar every 2 or 3 days, more often in hot weather. Cleaning bird feeders is essential for hummingbirds and others. It's critical to avoid the sugar water fermenting or developing mold if it sits out for days on end. You can't or won't change the sugar water mixture every couple of days, especially during high temperatures. Please do not put out a feeder at all. Most importantly, when it comes to wildlife, we need to know what to do and what not to do. We need to know what the science is and protect our animal friends by knowing how to care for them safely.
Today is World Otter Day, and I have a personal story for you. My wife and I were walking with a couple from Connecticut along a wooded canal that's parallel to the Connecticut River north of Hartford. It was summer, and we saw three families of wood ducks. Then I turned to our friends and asked them if there were otters there. Otters, he said. I've lived here my whole life, and I've never seen an otter. I didn't think there were any otters in the whole state. That's too bad, I said. This is a perfect ecosystem for them. And minutes later, we saw two otters swimming toward us, their heads above water, clearly keeping an eye on us. His wife laughed, delighted at what we were seeing. He was so surprised, all he could do was stare. His wife told us later that he was the kind of guy who, when he was on a hike, was very goal-oriented, going quickly to the end of whatever path they were walking along, while she liked to walk slowly and look at everything. After seeing those otters, whenever he would do that, she'd tell him, if you walk too fast, you miss the otters. She said that slowed him down for about 2 weeks.
Now we have an environmental song for you, written and performed by our guest Steve Andrews, who asks, where does all the plastic go?
Plants, what about real plants? I saw the fake ones at the store. People must want them, people must buy them. I don't want to see any more. Where does all the plastic go? Into the sea, into the sea. How does it get there? Who threw it away? Was it you or was it me? It's not hunting that'll kill the last whale. Plastic will do it, it's a very sad tale. And all the albatrosses are dying out too. They keep on fishing in the oceans. Plastic stew. Where does all the plastic go? Into the sea, into the sea. How does it get there? Who threw it away? Was it you or was it me? Plastic bag I bought, it very quickly broke. If it ever gets burned, there'll be poisonous smoke. Where does all the plastic go? Into the sea, into the sea. How does it get there? Who threw it away? Was it you or was it me? Plastic kills the turtles and it's eaten by the fish. Plastic's in the food chain and the dinner on your dish. Where does all the plastic go? Into the sea, into the sea. How does it get there? Who threw it away? Was it you or was it me? Was it you or was it me? Was it you or was it me?
That was Steve Andrews singing, Where Does All the Plastic Go? Now we welcome our guest, Steve Andrews, author of Saving Mother Ocean. Please introduce yourself, Steve.
Thank you, Donna. Hi. Well, I'm very pleased to be here. And yes, indeed, I am Steve Andrews. I'm also known as the Bard of Ely. That is Ely in Cardiff in South Wales, which is where I come from originally. I'm now living in Portugal. I am indeed an author. I'm the author of Saving Mother Ocean, which I happen to have here. There it is, Saving Mother Ocean. And I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm an activist. And I'm an activist, you know, really concerned about the environment. So I guess you could call me an environmental activist. And plastic pollution is something which got me inspired. It got me motivated. So I have that song, which you've just heard, Where Does All the Plastic Go? And I write about it in my book, Saving Mother Ocean. But I think that,
Steve, you know, most people who write about environmental issues tend to specialize in one or two issues like you did in your song. But in Saving Mother Ocean, you address like a dozen different issues. So if you're inspired by what happened with plastics, how come your book wasn't about plastics? Why was it about everything?
Great question, Ken, and thank you for bringing that up, because it happened this way, that the plastic pollution was the thing that kind of triggered me, because the plastic pollution, I'm seeing that all the time, and it's so horrible. And so that got me to think, I got to do something about this, apart from picking up plastic, which is something I do. And loads of other people do, but I thought I got to do more than that. But then I got the deal for writing this book. And by then, of course, I was already aware of some of the other problems, which the oceans, that's my book, some of the other problems which the ocean faces. But I thought, okay, I'm writing a book now. You know, let me sit down and really have a look at this subject. And then, as you are brought up, Ken, there's a lot more to it than just the plastic. And so what I thought with my book, I thought, well, I'm going to use this book just to draw attention to all the different threats to the oceans. And I'll also take a look at, you know, what is actually being done by the people that are doing something. And so it's a kind of a guidebook. It's a kind of guidebook to problems in the oceans and what we are all doing, you know, to try and sort it out. So that was my idea. And I also put in a little bit about the indigenous people. In particular, I talk about the Kogi people. And I put in something about, you know, kind of superheroes as well. But I just occurred to me that, you know, Aquaman, I was talking about Aquaman. And I was also talking about Atlantis. So it's a pretty varied book. But as I say, it was me trying to say, well, let me have a look at this, try and condense into some kind of summary of what's going on if we're going to try and do something about Saving Mother Ocean.
It's a nice Saving Mother Ocean 101 sort of book where you give a kind of a summary of all the different issues involved in threatening the ocean. And it's sort of, I think that sometimes environmental issues can be overwhelming. I mean, it's so horrible. And there's so many very wealthy corporations and governments doing horrible things. And where do you start? And I was really glad because, you know, it's like, I'm reading the book. I'm like, yeah, okay, I know this stuff. But to have a introduction to all the different things in one place, I think is a wonderful way of doing it. And it occurs to me, how come more people haven't done that? I think people get involved in something and we specialize. We're taught to specialize when we're kids. We're taught to specialize when we're adults. So we specialize. I like that you were a generalist in this case.
And I do want people to know that, Steve has generously offered the books to Ecologic and WBAI to be offered to our listeners for thank you gifts. So we do would love you to look at our full library of books, materials that we have for you. And thank you, Steve, very much, because after listening to your show, people are going to want to know more.
Well, Donna, you're very welcome. And I'm just trying to, you know, raise awareness, really, and I'm trying to, you know, maybe kind of inspire other people to take some kind of action. And getting back to you, Ken, you know, you're talking about specializing and everything, and also, I mean, it's just too much. It really is. It's like, you know, You could have given me, like, write that book about saving Mother Ocean, and it could have been really thick. It could have been like an epic book. I could be writing it for years. It could, and it would be boring. It would be boring as hell. You know, people would say, you know, I don't want to read all this. You know, my, it's all full of statistics and facts and figures, and I can't cope. You know, I'm trying to counter that. What I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to say, look. The world's in a bit of a mess right now. You know, it's in more than a bit of a mess. The world is in a mess, and the oceans are in a mess, right? And it is all too much. But if we look at it this way, if we look at it like on a personal level, what can each of us do? You know, because we can all do something. And if we all do something, then all of our efforts add up to making a difference, right?
What's the famous saying that nobody can do everything, and just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you shouldn't do something.
Yeah, that's right. It's impossible to do everything. You know, none of us can do that, and nobody who wants to. It's just crazy. It's like, but you know, specializing is okay. And I'm coming to that. I'm just thinking. I mean, there are some people who are specializing in some of the things which need sorting out. For example, I talk about mangroves in my book. I talk about how the mangrove forests are in a mess. And so there are some people who specialize in planting more mangroves and monitoring the state of the mangroves. And that's great. But what I'm getting at there is that probably the people that are doing that, that was something they're really interested in, something that they feel called to. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm trying to say is for everybody in the world, I'm not just about the oceans, about anything that we need to take some kind of action to go with what you feel a calling to, what you feel is something that, you know, resonates with you, something that you know about, something that you like, you know? So, coming back to me with that, I'm thinking, well, you know, I can write songs. I can do that. So I can write a song and I can sing a song. And that's something I like doing. That's something that comes to me. And I thought, you know, when I did that, I thought, well, I can probably reach a lot more people by writing a song and getting that out there than I can with doing what I'm already doing. For example, like picking up plastic litter in the place I live. Because, you know, other people do that and people know about this. People know that around the world there's people doing beach cleanups and that's great. And there's people picking up, you know, rubbish where they live and that's great. But that doesn't like, it doesn't necessarily inspire people to think, oh yeah, great. Now I found what I want to do in life. I want to go and pick up rubbish, you know? But maybe some people do. And I'm actually thinking, and this is where what I mean about a calling. One of the people that's endorsed my book is Lily Platt, and she's 13 now, and she's a global youth ambassador. Awesome. And like me, she was kind of motivated by plastic pollution. She's seeing all this plastic where she was in the Netherlands, and it was upsetting, and she said, well, what can I do about it? Well, I can start picking it up. So she started picking it up. I think she was 9 or 10 at that time. Mm-hmm. And her grandpa was helping her. And then they put all this on Twitter, which is now X, and they called it Lily's Plastic Pickup. And so she got a name as the little girl who was motivated to be picking up plastic. And they put pictures of how many different plastic things they picked up on a day and what they were. You know, we picked up so many plastic bottles and 10 plastic bags and a plastic toy and all this stuff. And people could see that. And that was how, you know, she got kind of active. And if you like, she specialized in picking up plastic, and she got a name for it, you know, Lily's Plastic Pick. And she got to meet Greta Thunberg and they're friends now. So, you know, if you, again, it's coming back to what I'm saying. If you feel a calling for something, go for the calling, go for what you feel, you know, you can contribute to and something that, you know, resonates with you. And that's what I'm trying to do. And so I thought about when I was writing this book, I thought, well, look, if I give people a kind of summary of all the different things that are happening, people can, you know, pick something out of there and think, well, you know, what can I do on a personal level about, you know, trying to help with any of these problems? So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to, you know, if you like, lay my cards on the table, put all the information out there, but not in a state that's going to overwhelm people. I just want to say, if you want to know about saving the ocean, here are some of the threats to the ocean, you know, but not too much.
I think about people reading a few pages on overfishing and go, oh, that's terrible. And they read a few pages on cruise ships and what they're doing to the ocean. Well, that's terrible. And then they read nuclear waste. And, oh, my God, that's terrible. And that's what they decided to specialize in. And, you know, there's dead zones throughout the world, a huge one off the in the Gulf of Mexico, off of Louisiana, Mississippi. It's horrible. And it's affecting ocean that's not even a dead zone. Coral bleaching, which one of the saddest things. What the military is doing with sonar. You mentioned that. Seabed mining, which was talked about when I was a kid. Before I even went to college, they were talking about seabed mining and what a wonderful thing it will be someday. Yes. And, of course, they can make anything horrible.
Ken, you know, I'm just thinking that, you know, stuff that was talked about, you know, when you were a kid, when I was a kid, you know, all these things that were talked about as something that's going to be happening in the future, you know, we're actually in that future now, and these things are with us. But unfortunately, a lot of the things which were, you know, held up as a real wonder, like a marvel, a fantastic technology that was going to be such a benefit to, you know, to people today, we're finding that there are like disadvantages with these things as well. But like plastic is a prime example. Plastic was held up as, you know, this wonderful new invention, this material that was going to last, and it has lasted. That's the problem. It was made to last, and last it does.
Steve, this is all so inspiring. You are inspiring. Our listeners, I'm sure, are inspired now. But we need the station ID right now, and you are listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale.
Now we can go back to our guest, Steve Andrews, author of Saving Mother Ocean.
I remember Ed Begley talking about the plastic fence he had around his yard and saying, you know, it'll last forever. But then I don't need to make new wood fences, we don't have to repaint it all the time and so forth. But the downside of that is when you don't want it, it also lasts forever.
Yeah.
That is very true. And I'm just, because I was talking to somebody on Twitter, X, earlier today, and this was where plastic came in again. There is a bird, I don't know if you have these birds in America, probably, they're called swifts, they're like swallows. Mm-hmm. In the UK, the swifts are, you know, endangered. Because, you know, the buildings over there, the houses, these birds, the swifts, used to nest under the eaves of the houses, and this was normal. Like a street would have like lots of swifts living down it, and every year they used to arrive. And I have like a little story, you know, about like my late father. He passed away in 2018, but my dad, he used to keep a little diary. And this was something which delighted him, you know. This was just like something that he was really like. Like every year he would note the date that the swifts arrived in the street and the date that the swifts departed later in the year, you know. That was something he really liked doing. But eventually he said, well, I've given up because there were so few swifts arriving now. There's no point. And so what I'm getting at there is he, as an old man, noticed that these birds, which were once common, are no longer around. So anyway, I'm involved in a thread on X about swifts and what can be done and all of this. And somebody brought into the conversation the fact that part of the problem was that the roofs of the houses started being fitted with plastic. And they were taking away the old fashioned slate, a natural material, and they were putting plastic in the roofs. And that was part of the downfall of, you know, of the swift populations in the UK. So plastic again, and I'm sure when that was started, people were saying, you know, builders and people doing the houses were saying, oh, this is this wonderful new material we've got here, plastic. We're going to fit this in your roof, and you won't get any problems in future now, because it's made to last. And it, you know, and so
and that, nobody that thought about thing. The swifts. Nobody Sorry? Thought about the birds.
Nobody thought about the and it's not only the swifts. There's the house sparrow that used to be a really common bird in the UK. That's its numbers have dropped drastically. The starling that used to be so. I can name you three really common birds that used to live in most streets with houses in the UK, and they've all nearly gone now. And plastic is part of the problem. And so, you know, when I saw that today, and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, this is yet another example where plastic has come in, and it was hailed as a wonder, but nobody was thinking about the disastrous consequences it could have later. And we're, and like I said earlier, we're now in that later period. We're now in the period where we're seeing, well, what has actually happened.
Well, I'm looking at the list of the different topics that you devote a few pages to. And several of them are not caused by plastic. The dead zones that are all over the world are caused by poison that we call herbicides or pesticides or fertilizer, which ends up in the water and becomes poison to whatever lives there. You know, there's problems that go beyond plastic. The coral bleaching is partly from poison and partly from just the overheating of the ocean. The global warming part of climate change is killing corals.
And the coral bleaching is also happens when the water is devoid of oxygen because of human waste that goes into the water.
Yeah.
Along the coastlines.
Or it's too much fresh water because of what's coming off of the land. There's so many ways. There's lots of ways we have to kill coral. Isn't that wonderful? I've been getting a lot of email about falcon cams, right? You can see, you know, falcons laying their eggs and the chicks hatching, and you can watch them grow up. And I thought, are there coral cams where people just put a camera at a coral reef? Well, there are. They're all over the world. And I just started looking at them, and I couldn't do it very long because you're looking at coral bleaching. You'll see a few corals that are clearly, you know, still alive and others that are clearly dead. And I remember years ago when you look at video of a coral reef, there were so many different kinds of fish, and they were so beautiful in every color, you know, shades of colors that you never even realized existed. And now you look at a coral cam, and there's only a handful of species of fish there. It's killed so many different species that just a few have basically taken over the ecosystem. An ecosystem with very few species is not a healthy ecosystem. And, you know, we know that from forests, and we know that from a lot of places, and we know that from coral reefs, which used to be among the most productive areas in the world. People would take their vacations to go to a coral reef to go snorkeling or scuba diving. Now you go down there, you could be depressed.
Oh, and I'm a scuba diver. So when you're trying to figure out where you're going to go, you have to right now take into account where the coral is still alive and the colors of the fish are still beautiful. And when I've seen a bleached piece of coral on the bottom of the seafloor, it just broke my heart. And at the last time I was scuba diving was a long time ago, and there was just some coral that was white and bleached. And so now I'm afraid to go back to Hens and Chicken Reef in the Keys. I'm afraid of what's going to look like.
Yeah, I remember watching the film Chasing Coral. It was really excellent documentary on the problems.
Right. And we've done shows. We've done news pieces on Ecologic about the growing, it's an attempt to save the coral, growing coral in a laboratory, and little baby corals, and then planting them. And I don't know, planting is the right word, by placing them in the ocean.
I know they look like plants, but they're actually animals.
Right. Many animals all put together. Yeah. There are attempts at conservationists to bring back the coral.
There are.
But I remember when I lived in Florida, what they did is that the ocean liners or the cargo ships would go by and they'd come too close to shore and they'd get fined. Well, in order to overcome the legal fines, they purposely got fined, went the coral, hurt the environment so that, yeah, they get fined, but next time they could travel closer and save money on gas coming closer to shore.
Oh my God.
There's all kinds of evil things that the oil companies and the barges will do. So, yeah, there has to be more regulation. Now, I'm sorry, I'm getting too maudlin. Steve, tell us more. Tell us more.
Yeah, you have a whole chapter on solutions. Let's talk about those.
That's exactly. That's where I was going. Tell us what we love to give our listeners is something they can do. You've been very inspiring. Tell us more about what people can do.
Well, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what can we do, you know, apart from picking up plastic and reducing the amount of plastic we're using. And I'm back on the plastic subject, but you know, there are other things that we can do. One thing that we can do, and I've done it myself, so, and I've mentioned two celebrities who've also done it, so they're walking their talk. Because I realize that, you know, it's no good telling people what they can do if you can't, like, set an example yourself. And this was going vegan or going vegetarian, you know. And the two celebrities I've mentioned was Captain Paul Watson and Greta Thunberg, who are both vegan. And I went vegan 4 years ago. And so I'm just giving that as an example of something that, you know, any of us can do. And if you don't want to go completely vegan, then just increase the amount of, you know, vegetarian foods that you're eating, vegetable-based foods. And, you know, everybody can do that to some degree. You know, so if you're somebody who says, oh, I'm never going to give up eating meat, I'm never going to give up eating fish, I'm never going to give up eating dairy, I love my cheese, and, you know, which I can understand this, because, you know, if you're brought up eating these foods, they're with you, you know, and so you have to make a real effort to say, I'm not doing that anymore. But
there was a push a while back for Meatless Mondays, and, you know, there's a great way to get started. Pick a day and, you know.
Yeah, sure. You know, like, do it in steps and cut down. And I think when I say cut down, I think cutting down is really important in so many different fields. You know, yeah. that like, I think that in general, and that that we as the human race, or whatever you want to call us, you know, humanity, or part of our problem is that we. How we live is unsustainable. We keep trying to take things from the environment. We're using up the resources. We're going to the forests and we're chopping the forest down. We're going to the sea and we're overfishing it. We're doing too much of everything. So what I'm trying to say is, if we can reduce what we're doing, and if we can all reduce a bit, you know, and a bit is a reduction, you know, everybody can reduce some of the things they're doing in life. You know, and so we don't have to completely abandon something. We don't have to give up something completely. But if we reduce, you know, our use of it or our habit or what, if we reduce it, then it's going to be to the benefit of the world.
Yeah, and that's especially true in the most of the U.S. and in the European countries. There are some areas where, you know, folks need more energy, you know, but for those, most of us in the listening area, take a look, we can probably reduce. Yeah.
And that goes along with what you were saying before. Yes, we can all do something. And that's in line of doing something.
But that also includes making sure that people who represent you in Trenton or Albany or Hartford or Washington, D.C., know that you care about the air and the water and the wildlife and the plastic and the ocean. Let them know you care, and you're watching how they vote on those things. Make sure they know, because they will go with where the money is unless they have to go to where the votes are. And so they will choose votes over money if they think that there's not enough money to undo all those votes. They know that money buys votes. But if they realize there's all these people paying attention to this issue, they can't vote for it.
Also in Cardiff and Lisbon.
Yes. But the point is that, yeah, wherever you're listening to this from, in, you know, Canberra, Ottawa, make sure the people who represent you know what you care about. Because you tell them you will vote for their opponent if they don't do what you want. And that's the only way they'll listen to you. You may have to threaten them, or you get to thank them. You know, if they do, I have a state senator who votes the way I want, even without me telling her to, which is great. And I try to remember to thank her every once in a while, because it's important that those kinds of politicians exist. I know they're outnumbered by the ones that don't do that, but
and reinforcing those votes is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a participatory democracy. You have to participate, and so participate. Yeah, you can make individual choices, but it wasn't only individual choices that got us into this mess. It was also the way policy is done, the fact that so much of our tax money is given to oil companies like they need it. You know, they get billions and they'll go, well, we gave millions to renewable energy, so why can't we give billions to fossil fuel? I say, because you gave 1,000 times more to fossil fuel than you did. So there's a lot of ways of doing that, and I confess, if you did not have a chapter, a nice sized chapter on activities, it was just called action you can take, and solutions, and you include solutions even while you're talking about the issues, you know, it wouldn't have been worth just talking about problems. We can't just talk about problems, and I'm glad that Saving Mother Ocean didn't just talk about problems.
Ken, the title of the book wouldn't make sense if I was only talking about the problems, because I'm talking about saving Mother Ocean. So, and I wanted to say as well that you just touched on something there that I think is really important, about the fact that we as the public can be like keeping an eye on what the politicians and the authorities are doing. So it's like we're watching them. We know what they're doing, you know, and they're not going to get our votes. They're not going to get our support if they keep messing everything up, you know, and if they keep lying, you know. I mean, they can go so far, but eventually people have had enough. And I've seen, like, you know, recently trending on Twitter, and enough is enough. And I think this is coming around. A lot of people are saying enough is enough, you know, with so many things. And so people are keeping an eye on what's going on. And those who are doing the good stuff, which is why I think what you're trying to say, Ken, is like a politician who is doing good works and the public is seeing that, they're going to get the votes because they're going to deserve them, because say that they keep their word. Instead of like all these people that do a blah, 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 we're going to do this, we're going to, and then they don't. Yeah. The ones that do something they're talking about, people are going to say, yeah, you know, they kept their word. Yeah, they get my vote. Yeah, they get my support. And that is how, you know, it should be going, and how I think it's starting to go that way. I think, you know, we the public.
This is the kind of shows we like to do with solutions to problems and this kind of detail. And so we really appreciate you writing the book and having this discussion.
And supplying the book to us for our listeners. In these divisive times of political turmoil, there is one place you can go to hear the voices of the people, listener-supported radio. There are many viewpoints, and we bring you discussion and experts you won't hear anywhere else. This is your media. sure, we ask you for your donations. Isn't that better than when media companies take their dollars from influencers with corporate money? Yep, we think so too. So please be generous with your support, whether you request a thank you gift or join us as an Ecologic BA buddy. It all works to keep your radio station on the air. We appreciate all of you. We appreciate all of our listeners. And we appreciate when you show us that you want us to stay on the air. Just as change doesn't happen unless activists take the steps to make it happen, media doesn't just stay on the air without your action either. In this case, your financial support. Please call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org to make your donation, or you can send a check or money order if you prefer. And to let us know that you are a listener, we really want to know that you're a listener. We'd love you to go to our website and sign up for our email list. You'll be sure to hear of upcoming shows.
Your contribution to WBAI, whether you take the book or not, is a testament to your belief in the power of grassroots media and the strength of our community bonds. We are particularly grateful to our Ecologic BAI buddies who help ensure that the station's bills get paid. Please join us now so you can be proud of having done your part to keep Ecologic and WBAI on the air.
If you listen on the internet, you'll be glad to know that the FCC recently restored net neutrality here in the U.S., so it's illegal for your service provider to slow down our signal. But we still need to ensure that our tower rent is paid so that our on-the-air broadcast is uninterrupted. Every dollar you contribute goes directly towards sustaining independent journalism, empowering grassroots initiatives, and fostering a sense of belonging in our community. Together, we can make a difference through the power of community radio. Please support WBAI. The number to call is 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org.
From public affairs shows such as Democracy Now!, Afrobeat, On the Count, Covert Action Bulletin, to Beyond the Pale and Clearing the Fog and Off the Hook, plus our shows such as Hour of the Wolf and Golden Age of Radio, to health and science shows such as Heart of Mind and Exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku, and over 100 more. You'll hear voices on WBAI that are left out of mainstream media. Please do your part to help us bring you incredible programming. The number to call is 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai to make your donation, or you can send a check or money order.
When you choose to become our Ecologic BAI buddy, you're giving us a reliable source of support that we can depend on. Just as you can depend on WBAI, we're here for you all the time, and you'll be helping to ensure we stay here. Just $10 or $15 a month, more if you can, enables people to listen wherever they are.
When you donate, please let us know if we can thank you on the air. We appreciate all our listeners and we'll thank you publicly if you like, as soon as we can. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Geller.
And Steve, why don't you pick a couple chapters of Saving Mother Ocean? And just talk about those issues.
Okay. All right. Well, there is one of the chapters that I know that I talk. In fact, I have the lyrics to my song, Where Does All the Plastic Go? I talk about, you know, which I've already talked about, how I felt motivated to write that song and to do something. But I also talk in that chapter about how I had this idea for a big rock concert, you know, a marine conservation, a kind of an Ocean Aid style concert. And I've been going on about that, you know, for a couple of years now. But the thing is that I think I'm getting closer.
Ah.
And you can actually see behind you on that. Well, you'd have to turn to, but I'm sure you know what's on the poster behind you. Fabienne Cousteau and Sylvia Earle. Okay. Well, I I was absolutely delighted.
He's talking about our promotional meme.
Yeah, okay. I got to actually meet Sylvia Earle and Fabien Cousteau at the World Ocean Summit in March here in Lisbon in Portugal. And I put, you know, my idea to them about that I have this idea for this big marine conservation rock concert. And they both thought it was a wonderful idea, you know. So that's what I mean, that I think I'm getting nearer, because I'm getting people, you know, top people in marine conservation like them saying, Steve, yeah, this is a great idea. But it needs to be more than an idea. And so that's what I'm trying to, all the time I'm going for pushing this a little further. And just recently, and this is why I bring this in, just recently I sent my book, Saving Mother Ocean, and I sent, where is it? My CD, which has got Where Does All the Plastic Go on it. I've sent this to Emily Evis, and she runs the Glastonbury Festival in the UK. And I'm trying to, maybe I'm using this word trying too much here, but I've told her about my ideas and what I think should be done, that we should have a stage at Glastonbury for marine conservation. I've told her all this stuff, which is that Coldplay support Captain Paul Watson, who has endorsed my book, and that Coldplay, you know, advertise that fact on their website, that Bryan Adams supports Captain Paul Watson, is in fact listed as an ambassador for Captain Paul on the Captain Paul Watson Foundation site. And so we have like really big name rock stars who are behind this kind of stuff. And so if a stage could be put together at a big festival like Glastonbury, it would be absolutely ideal. It would be ideal for the festival, because it's going to, you know, the world is watching, and they're going to say, hey, look, Glastonbury is doing something about tackling the marine conservation problem. They've got a whole stage devoted to it this year. The bands that play it are going to get fantastic publicity for doing something, you know, on a stage like that. And it's just going to work. And
you heard it here first.
And you heard it here first. That's right. Anyway, yeah, you did actually, because this is not public that this has actually happened. I've sent my book and my CD with Where Does All the Plastic Go to Emily Evis. I haven't just randomly sent it out. I was talking to somebody on her team saying, you know, could they make sure that this gets to Emily if I send it over? They've said yes, so they're going to be looking out for it. So it will go to her. And that's one of the chapters that in my book. Another chapter that I did mention these people earlier. I thought I should say something about the indigenous people. Indigenous people all over the planet are the people that are not making the mess. They are not living unsustainably. You know, they live within how it is where they live. And so I think I could quite safely say that any indigenous people, any group of indigenous people, they know how to live where they live. They know what plants you can eat. They know what animals and fish they can catch there. They know what the weather should be like. they know where they're going to get water from. They know all the essentials of living. And they don't take it out of the area they live in, you know, and so they live sustainably. So anyway.
We are running out of time.
Are we?
And I'm hoping that at least some of our listeners will go to give2wbai.org and search for all the wonderful gifts that you can get. You know, membership in WBAI is $25, but if you give us more, we'll give you a gift. And Steve's book, Saving Mother Ocean, is one of those gifts. So go to give2wbai.org. And right now, we are in the middle of the second annual Black Birders Week. Now would be a good time to check out our past Black Birders show from July 2nd, 2019. You can view the video version of that Ecologic episode on Black Birders, and that was from before that week was established, on ecoradio.org.
And the Sierra Club Board recently reconfirmed the group's opposition to nuclear energy and is offering a series of films about nuclear energy. The first was Radioactive, The Women of Three Mile Island, directed and produced by Heidi Huttner. Next up is SOS, San Onofre Syndrome, Nuclear Power's Legacy, which is free to view between Monday, June 3rd and June 10th, with a discussion on Monday evening, June 10th. We link to the registration forms on our site, ecoradio.org. Wow. It's time really flies, folks.
Yeah.
It's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us. Thanks so much, Steve Andrews. You can find more information at linktree.com/Steve Andrews. That's linktr.ee/Steve Andrews. As always, if you'd like a follow-up or news report on any of these topics or our other previous shows or news items, email us using the clickable link near the top of the page, just under the promo meme, ecoradio.org. And please go to give2wbai.org to become a BAI buddy or make a donation. We love our BAI buddies. And join us
join us next Wednesday, June 5th at 10 a.m. We'll be talking about New York State's Tree Act with Mark Latour from the Environment TV Forum and Jeff Conan from Friends of the Earth. We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please sign up for our email list or like our Facebook page. We're WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
We welcome you to get involved at WBAI. Check the meetings section of the WBAI.org homepage for dates and times. And of course, we always need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. Pledging as an Ecologic buddy now, during this show, really helps Ecologic especially.
We're sure you'll see the value of Ecologic and WBAI and support us. Ecologic covers such issues as fast fashion, PCBs, PFAS,
plastic everywhere, climate change, community ecology,
bioregionalism, energy issues, healthy food activism,
environmental justice, wildlife protection, clean air and water,
wise transportation, green buildings, connecting with other issues.
Restore, conserve, and celebrate the natural world.
As always, we welcome you to go to our website to let us know what's important to you. We often have covered topics that you, our listeners, suggest. We thank you for that. Thanks in advance for your support and suggestions. You can become a voting member of WBAI. We hope you do. Or make a donation at give2wbai.org. Or you can send us a check or money order.
Thanks in advance for your support. Call 212-209-2950 or donate online. Go to give2wbai.org. If you prefer, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or donation. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic, live or on the archives. This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us on Wednesday, June 5th at 10 a.m. for New York State's Tree Act. We're usually here Wednesdays at 10 a.m. between the excellent programs Covert Action Bulletin and Living for the City. Check our website for details. Thanks to Steve Andrews for today, and thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar power, inexpensive energy. Solar.
Give me the world.
WBAI New York. Stay tuned for headline news.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Christina Onnested. Jury deliberations in the historic criminal trial of a former U.S. President Donald Trump begins today after closing arguments Tuesday that stretched late into the evening. Jurors will decide the former president's guilt or innocence on 34 felony counts for allegedly falsifying internal business records to cover up hush money payments tied to an alleged scheme to quash stories that threatened Trump's 2016 White House bid. He's denied any wrongdoing and pled not guilty to all 34 counts. After high-ranking Republicans sought to discredit the case against Trump last week outside the courthouse, Capitol Police officers and actor Robert De Niro spoke in support of the historic prosecution Tuesday. Edwin Vieira reports.
Actor Robert De Niro joined former Capitol Police officers in denouncing former President Donald Trump.
When Trump ran in 2016, it was like a joke. This buffoon running for president. Never could happen. We'd forgotten the lessons of history that showed us other clowns who weren't taken seriously until they became vicious dictators.
De Niro will appear in campaign ads for President Joe Biden and attack Trump for what the actor called a coward's violence when inciting a mob to attack the Capitol on January 6th. The former president's campaign fired back that De Niro's speech is the act of a desperate and pathetic campaign. Trump campaign press secretary Caroline Leavitt said Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's case is a witch hunt.
This case would have been laughed out of any other courtroom in America. Legal scholars on both sides of the aisle, even liberal legal scholars, agree there is no crime, there is no case.
On the first day of the trial, Trump's campaign raised more than $1.5 million and has gotten sizable donations since. But the former president's son, Don Jr., accused the Biden campaign of profiting financially and politically from the case. Mirroring a key argument lawyers made in Tuesday's closing arguments, Don Jr. attacked witness Michael Cohen as a liar.
It is an insanity. It is an embarrassment. It's an abomination to democracy and to our republic. And yet it continues.
In its closing arguments, the prosecution said the statements of Trump's former fixer are confirmed by the porn star payments paper trail. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
Renewed Israeli shelling and strikes in Gaza have killed at least 75 people in the last 24 hours, according to the Wafa News Agency, citing medical sources in Gaza. That brings the death toll of Palestinians from Israel's war to more than 36,100. Israel's ramped up strikes in the southern city of Rafah that have killed at least 37 people, most of them sheltering in tents in the same area where Israeli strikes triggered a deadly fire in a camp for displaced Palestinians, killing 45 people, mostly children and women, in what's being called the Tent Massacre. A CNN analysis of the strike finds U.S.-made munitions were used in that massacre. Weapons experts identified the bomb remnants as GBU-39, manufactured by Boeing. Serial numbers match those for a manufacturer, parts based in California. Despite the continued strike and global condemnation, the Biden administration says the strikes have not crossed a red line in Rafah. Ada Shaheen reports.
The strike was one of the deadliest individual attacks since the war began. Juliet Tuma is with the UN Refugee and Works Agency, or UNRWA.
People are dying inside. Everywhere they look, there is death, and it is as if people have accepted that death is their fate.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu attributed the mass casualties from the airstrike to a, quote, tragic mishap. At a press conference Tuesday at the White House, reporters questioned National Security Advisor John Kirby about Biden's so-called red line and Israel's compliance with it.
We don't want to see a major ground operation. We haven't seen that at this point.
Kirby said he wants to let Israel investigate its own actions and see what it comes up with. Ata Shaheen.
Israel's national security advisor today said he expects the war in Gaza to continue throughout the year. International protests continue against Israel's war in Gaza. German police clashed with some 800 protesters Tuesday night. Dozens rallied outside Israel's consulate in Mexico City. And in California, the union representing 48,000 student workers on 11 University of California campuses escalated.